There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. Dalton and Leanna, if anybody could get, I probably can get it during the news break, but the second half of this hour, would people been asking me, what's your comment on the Cuomo thing? I said, well, I have, local stuff that I'm more interested in to do. But at the end of the show, we will do some of this Cuomo stuff. And if you could get me, you don't have to call me darling, queued up. That would be good, just seeing some of the notes I've got there on this Cuomo story. All right, and as I mentioned before we went to the break, I'll be joined by a two-term state auditor and possible gubernatorial candidate, Jim Ziegler, joining us right now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, and thank your tens of thousands of listeners for being concerned about what's going on in their state government.
Yeah, and let's talk about this. First of all, like the situation, state auditor termed out now, so you're not running as state auditor. So you could be running for governor, right? Not saying you are yet. I'm going to press you on that in a second, but you could be running for governor.
Well, that's correct. I set up an exploratory committee early last month, and have been doing all the things that a free candidate does, or some that a candidate does. My legal deadline to make the decision is Friday, January 28th. That's almost 6 months away. So there's plenty of time to decide if I can run a viable race for governor against all that money and all that power. The Montgomery insiders, they're not for me.
Yeah, let's talk about it. First of all, let's talk about the money part, and then we'll get into your ideas here of why you should be the choice and not the incumbent, Governor Ivey. The money side of this is a big thing. It drives everything in politics. Incumbents, already come in with they've got money, but they have the imagined dollars of incumbency. What do you think it takes to field a, like, if you're looking at this, you're sitting at the kitchen table writing this out, how much money does it take to field a gubernatorial campaign in the state of Alabama in 2022?
For a normal candidate, and nobody ever called me a normal candidate, it would take $3 million.
Okay.
I can do it on $500,000. I've never had $100,000 running statewide in the same geographical territory that I'd be running for governor. And I've got more votes per dollar than any other candidate except one.
Who's that?
Jackie Ziegler. Our representative on the State Board of Education. She got more votes per dollar than anybody, including me.
Does she ever let you forget that, or does she remind you of that at the House?
She noticed it and reminds me of it from time to time. But
so you think 500,000, because Governor Ivey, what, the disclosure is over a million, right, in that war chest?
Well, yes, and her very first financial disclosure, she already had raised over $1 million of special interest money, people who want something out of government rather than the taxpaying public who want the smallest efficient government and want to have better management of the dollars that government has. Those are my voters.
Well, and you said as much, right, last night at the event, Jim Ziegler and the taxpayers versus Kay Ivey and the insiders.
Yes.
Explain that.
It's got a certain ring to it, and it gives a vision of the entire issue, what the choice. Jim Ziegler and the taxpayers versus Ivey and the insiders. It almost sounds like a rock and roll band, Ivy and the Insiders.
I gotcha. And
they are for her, and they don't want to lose that power, and it's going to be tough to beat. But
who are the give me a short list. Who are the insiders? Who are they?
Well, if they start with her chief of staff, Joe Bonner, our former congressman from this area. He's gone to Montgomery, and he's for Montgomery now instead of for the Gulf Coast. And you just have to go to her contributor list, and you get an idea of the. It's all the associations in Montgomery, the Business Council of Alabama, the Forestry Association, Alpha. You just name most of the associations, and they're for the incumbent and are going to support Governor Ivey.
So what would you do? You name those groups, you know, and they still make up Alabama voters, but you're saying special interest groups. What would you do as governor that they – what are they afraid of? I mean, what does Governor Ivey do for them that you wouldn't do, I guess is the better question.
I would be highly independent. I always have been. And I would try to do the right thing for the taxpaying public and the citizens. An example was the Ivy toll bridge proposal over the Bayway here on I-10. It was a terrible proposal, fatally flawed proposal. Yet she and her backers were going to ram it through. And when I first started opposition to the toll bridge plan, people in Montgomery told me, you're wasting your time. It's a done deal. She's going to ram it through just like she rammed the gasoline tax increase through. And fortunately, I didn't listen to all of that, and neither did 50,000 other citizens, mostly of Mobile and Baldwin County, though we had help from other counties. We had some help from North Alabama, people that saw that this might be just the first toll, and they could do toll after toll all over the state. That was the plan. And we nipped that in the bud in 2019. Now, that's an example. I-10 needs to be fixed. It needs to be enhanced, but it does not need a toll bridge. The money's there to fix the thing. The same amount of money fixed the I-65, I-59-20 intersection and bridge in Birmingham. And they're fixing the 565 in Huntsville. But when you come down here, we got to have a toll bridge. And it's just not true.
Well, yeah, and Jim, you and I have talked about this a lot. I mean, you get a lot of heads. There's a lot of heads nodding along with you in Mobile and Baldwin County. But how do you take that to the other 65 counties in the state, right? How do you get traction with that in Cullman or Huntsville or go to Etowah County or Tuscaloosa? How do you make that story stick elsewhere?
We tell them that this wasn't the only toll bridge that was coming. It was merely the next one. And so we nipped it in the bud, and that kind of discombobulated the toll bridge projects all over the state. There was one coming in Shelby County over the Coosa River, and there was one coming in Decatur over the Tennessee River. Well, they're not, because very correctly, we have made toll, T-O-L-L, into a four-letter word.
Yes, it's for sure. And, you know, while our memories are deep on that around here, you know, I think you probably you need that time on the campaign trail to tell folks in other places. Because I can't speak for every person, but I don't think they think about it or remember it like we do here.
They don't. And we go into more of the other issues in North Alabama, for instance, the Ivy gas tax. She did not run for re-election on raising the gasoline tax. It was not mentioned. But the first thing she did when she got reelected was to start ramming through a 10 cents a gallon gas tax that the people didn't want.
The legislature voted on that. I mean, she didn't do it by fiat, right? I mean, the state
legislature. Yes, they did, but they didn't think of it and they didn't initiate it. It was the Ivy gas tax. And, she actually cross-examined and did the Spanish Inquisition on new Republican candidates for open legislative seats to make sure that they would support her gas tax if elected.
Right.
And if they didn't, they didn't get supported for the election. And she didn't see anything wrong with that and almost bragged about it after the fact that she had vetted the legislative candidates to support her gas tax. That's just not a role of the governor, knowing that their constituents felt just the opposite.
If just joining us, talking to two-time state auditor Jim Ziegler, possible gubernatorial candidate. Let's talk about a couple of the other statewide issues here that people have criticized Governor Ivey on, and that has been shutdowns during last year's outbreak, and we can talk about this year. But if you're in that position, would you have done anything differently for mask mandates or businesses being shut down?
Yes, I would have, and no one has sat down and step-by-step done a post-mortem on what Alabama did in the lockdowns and the shutdowns, but it needs to be done not for the purpose of blaming Dr. Scott Harris and Governor Ivey, who were the main two involved in that, but for the purpose of not repeating the same mistakes if, God forbid, the virus or some other type of epidemic comes back. We want to learn from what was done before. Now, the more recent thing is that Governor Ivey decided to play the blame game and to shame the unvaccinated. And that's two-thirds of the people of Alabama that she's blaming and shaming, pointing the finger at. And more than one time, this just wasn't an offhand comment. This has been several times that she is trying to make unvaccinated people feel guilty, that they are endangering people and killing people. Well, there's several problems with that. And one is that a large percentage of the unvaccinated have a distrust of government. And if the governor is pushing so hard for vaccines, it makes them actually less likely to get vaccinated.
Right.
Some of the folks can't be vaccinated. Their doctor has advised them not to. Some of them.
Right, but that's not two-thirds of Alabamians. There's something else going on that's not just on doctors' recommendations.
Well, that's correct. But the idea to blame and shame someone who's made a decision not to be vaccinated, that does not help. Is that going to cause Joe Smith to go down and get vaccinated because the governor of Alabama is pointing her finger at the TV screen and saying we need to start blaming the unvaccinated? No, it's liable to make him bow up.
Oh, yeah.
And so that blame game just had no no place.
And just a couple minutes left here. I'd like to get your take on the prison situation. I mean, because I think there's plenty of blame to go around all through Montgomery. You've got what was Governor Ivey tried to do, but we also have a legislature that, you're talking about kicking a can down the road, to play the cliche of the day, that's been going on a long time.
The governor's $3 billion prison plan was a fatally flawed plan. It had problems in it that nobody would have put forward that plan. And my supporters and I researched it, and we pointed out those flaws, and the potential investors, or the investors that were going to put up the money for that lease plan, did something that the Ivy insiders don't do. They listened. The Ivy insiders do not listen to anybody but each other. And the investors listened, and they all pulled out. They all pulled out, and they voted with their dollars, their millions of dollars. And we killed the Ivy prison plan dead, as it should have been. I've come up with a 10-part plan that is just the neatest plan. And if you don't have one already, I'll send you a copy of it. I've given it to all 140 legislators. So I'm not always just against something. I'm against something when it's wasteful, inefficient. It's not good for the taxpayers. But I've got a positive plan for the prisons and for I-10. And as the campaign goes, I will release plan after plan of what I propose to do if elected governor.
All right. Well, tell folks, if they want to get more information online and talk about some of that funding, where do they go?
They go on Facebook to Jim Ziegler for Governor Exploratory Committee. And you get that about half typed in, and it'll pull up automatically. Jim Ziegler for Governor Exploratory Committee. And it will keep them up to date on what's going on and tell them how they can help and donate. I have a GoFundMe.
There we go. So go there on Facebook and check it out. And you have an announcement. You said you don't think it's going to take till January. Do you have is it going to happen this month? We're going to know by football. Will we have an announcement from you before we get to playing football in the SEC?
I sure hope so, because when 90,000, 100,000 Alabama people gather, I would like to be able to figure out a way to campaign.
Well said. Well said. Two-time state auditor and possible gubernatorial candidate Jim Ziegler joining us. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you very much, Sean.
All right. There he is. And we're coming right back. Got your text. And yes, for all the homosexuals out there, we'll have talk about the gov. Because Love Gov was taken, right, here in Alabama. So I guess it is homosexual. I guess we'll get to it when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 128. I'll tell you what, we'll get the audio of Governor Cuomo denying the allegations after the news here for the homosexuals out there. We'll get you hooked up. Big report out says the Attorney General there, Cuomo, violated federal and state law. Yeah. We'll get his... it's more salacious because you've got allegations of sexual harassment where people were not welcoming of the touch in the comments and all that versus, I know we try to put it out of our memory, but Governor Bentley and that was all, well, creepy, consensually creepy, but consensual. So it's a different thing. 165-page report released today saying that Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women and retaliated against a former employee who complained in violation of state and federal law. New York Attorney General Letitia James concluded a 165-page report released today. So there we go. We'll talk about this when we get back. Get the audio of Governor Cuomo saying he did no such thing. And we'll get your comments at 343-0106. be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
That should be something. 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. Just saw Jen Psaki on one of the monitors there. It said that President Biden would be speaking about Governor Cuomo later today. That'll be something. That'll be must-see TV. It'll be time to get the DVR. President Biden's going to... Should be good. Should be good. Can we get a time on that? If we can find a time, we could all gather in the back of the radio station here and put up the big screen and watch that. That should be good times. Hey, before we get... we're going Cuomo here in just a second. But I just want to, something just compare and contrast, a little thing I like to do. So listening to Dan and Dalton this morning, and they had the story that in Washington, D.C., murders surpassing coronavirus deaths in the month of July at a 3-to-1 ratio. Okay? And this is a serious story in the fact that there are human beings that are dead. Right? And not all of them are bad guys. So, obviously, that 20, there are 21 homicides in the month in the district there compared to 8 coronavirus deaths. Now, we'll probably, I don't know, what we'll see the next month, but the obviously it stands out, right? That, but then to compare and contrast, so then there was another story this morning that the Pentagon entered a lockdown due to a shooting event, and they put it in quotes, Fox News has it here, a shooting event, end quote. Why do you put that in quotes? I mean, been at trap tournaments and sporting clays that are shooting events. But a shooting event outside the building. Lockdown happened on Tuesday morning. So this is more of the shootings going on in D.C., where I'm going next month. Oh, my gosh. Lockdown happened Tuesday morning after an alleged shooting occurred near a platform by the facility's Pentagon Metro Station. According to police, all the entrances to the Pentagon have been secured. If it's other buildings, if it's the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, I get it. Lock it up, get everybody safe and protect. If it's the Pentagon, right, shouldn't they be coming? They shouldn't lock the doors. They should unlock them and come out and kick butt. It's the Pentagon. Like, you shouldn't lock up the Pentagon because somebody's shooting out there. They know that. They know the shooting. Let them come out and kick butt. That's just a side note there. It's a question. You lock up the Pentagon because they're shooting on the street. Seems like you just let those folks out. All right, so the Cuomo story here that is exploded even more, grown even more. Obviously, this has been a kind of a slow burn up until this release of the 165-page report released by Attorney General Letitia James, or as she's been called in broadcast, Lolita, Tish, Deborah, Karen, whatever. But I think it's Letitia James. Attorney General's probe included interviews with 179 people and found out that Cuomo had harassed current and former staff members from 2013 to 2020. So why does nobody blow the whistle in 2013? I know there's a lot of reasons, but it continues in the story from Fox News, said, this is a sad day for New York because independent investigators have concluded that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women and in doing so broke the law. End quote. Investigation's report is based on allegations from 11 different complainants, 9 of whom worked for Cuomo either in the past or currently. You know, when there's, I'm one to come out and take arrows when there's one person claiming. I'm not saying that they're not telling the truth, but I say you gotta dig into this because one person or even two could claim something. When you have 11 different people, ladies, claiming something, strikes me that this is a mass conspiracy against Cuomo. But I don't buy that. Says, of course, former staff member Lindsay Boylan was the first to come forward with allegations detailing encounters with the governor in a Medium post back, medium, the publication, Post back in February. They should have put that in quotes. Boylan alleged that Cuomo made multiple inappropriate comments to her, suggesting that they play strip poker and that he once kissed her without consent. Several other women accused Cuomo of making inappropriate sexual comments and engaging in unwanted touching, the most egregious being from an anonymous executive assistant who claims that he invited her to his residence and groped her breast under her blouse. Same woman told investigators that Cuomo also repeatedly touched her butt. That's with two T's. Touched her butt. Kissed her on the lips at least once and asked her on multiple occasions whether she has or would cheat on her husband. Okay. So there's some of the claims out there. So we're going to go to what we have is the audio. Here's a response from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo about this report, the 165-page document with the 179 interviews in it and these claims. Hey, Dalton, I'm running this just as I've gotten the feed here. Is this clean? Am I going to have to edit this? No, I know it's from it's the governor's office, but it's New York, and they cuss. Like, it's okay? I mean, because in other states, you would like, well, it's an official video release from the governor. You wouldn't worry about cursing, but it's New York. So I got family members there. I can say this. That the governor even might, so they're, we don't think there's cursing in it. Okay, let's roll that. Here is from just about an hour and a half ago, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo denying allegations.
Over the past several months, you have heard a number of complaints brought against me. I called for an independent review, and I said at the beginning I would let the process unfold. I didn't want anyone to say that I interfered. I said I would hold my tongue, and I have, making only limited comments. It has been a hard and a painful period for me and my family, especially as others feed ugly stories to the press. But I cooperated with a review, and I can now finally share the truth. My attorney, who is a non-political former federal prosecutor, has done a response to each allegation, and the facts are much different than what has been portrayed. That document is available on my website. If you are interested, please take the time to read the facts and decide for yourself. First, I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. I am 63 years old. I've lived my entire adult life in public view. That is just not who I am, and that's not who I have ever been. There is one complaint that has been made that bothered me most. That was a complaint made by a young woman, Charlotte Bennett, who worked in my office. And it's important to me that you fully understand the situation. Charlotte worked in my office last year as an assistant. She was smart, talented, and eager to learn. She identified herself to me as a survivor of sexual assault. She said that she came to work in my administration because of all the progress we had made in fighting sexual assault. She talked about the personal trauma that she endured and how she was handling it. I could see how it had affected her. I could see her pain. People now ask me, why was I even talking to this young woman if I knew she was dealing with such issues? Why did I even engage with her? That is the obvious and fair question, and one I have thought a lot about. The truth is that her story resonated deeply with me. I had heard the same story before, with the same ugliness, the same injustice, the same damage. Not only had I heard the story before, I had lived with the story before. My own family member is a survivor of sexual assault in high school. I have watched her live and suffer with the trauma. I would do anything to make it go away for her, but it never really goes away. I spent countless days and nights working through these issues with her and therapists and counselors. I'm governor of the state of New York, but I felt powerless to help and felt that I had failed her. I couldn't take the pain away. I still can't. And this young woman brought it all back. She is about the same age. I thought I had learned a lot about the issue from my family's experience. I thought I could help her work through a difficult time. I did ask her questions I don't normally ask people. I did ask her how she was doing and how she was feeling. And I did ask questions to try to see if she had positive, supportive dating relationships. I know too well the manifestations of sexual assault trauma and the damage that it can do in the aftermath. I was trying to make sure she was working her way through it the best she could. I thought I had learned enough and had enough personal experience to help her. But I was wrong. I have heard Charlotte and her lawyer, and I understand what they are saying. But they read into comments that I made and draw inferences that I never meant. They ascribe motives I never had. And simply put, they heard things that I just didn't say. Charlotte, I want you to know that I am truly and deeply sorry. I brought my personal experience into the workplace, and I shouldn't have done that. I was trying to help. Obviously, I didn't. I am even more sorry that I further complicated the situation. My goal was the exact opposite. I wish nothing but good for you and for all survivors of sexual assault. There is another complaint I want to address from a woman in my...
I'll tell you what, let's do that after the break, because right now, I mean, if I was his attorney, I'd tell him to put down the shovel, quit digging. So obfuscation. Listen, one person, like I said, one person claim. Now we got something to invest. 11 people? 11? 11? He still hadn't cussed, though. That's good. I just worried with the New York governor, he'd get me in trouble. All right, be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, a programming note for tomorrow's show. We are live aboard the USS Alabama there on the Fantail, my favorite location to do radio. So it's going to be a lot of fun out there tomorrow, Midday Mobile from noon to 1. And then, dang it, if the Marines don't take over again, Tom and Cal and Scuttlebutt Radio Network from 1 to 2. That's all out at Battleship Memorial Park tomorrow. Plus, speaking of which, we'll talk about this tomorrow, but... you may not be listening then, and I want to pass this along. USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park will be the host site for a new veterans job fair. This is tomorrow from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Medal of Honor Aircraft Pavilion. Alabama Department of Labor, working in conjunction with Mobile Career Center and Mobile and Baldwin County Veterans Employment Team, are sponsoring the event. The veterans job fair is open to all veterans and is free to attend. Employers will be available to share employment opportunities and interview job candidates on site. Veterans are encouraged to bring resumes, dress appropriately, and be prepared to interview. Masks are required. For more information on the Veterans Job Fair, please contact Mobile and Baldwin Veterans Employment Team. And I've got those numbers here if you want them. Instead of me just like shouting out somebody's phone number to you on the air, you can text us here and we can get them. Or you can probably just go to the website for the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park and they can get more information. But that job fair for veterans, y'all, it's tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. goes till 2 in the aircraft pavilion there at Battleship Memorial Park. So hopefully you do that and then come over and see us do the radio show. Come visit with us. All right. So I'm going to do this. This is my nature. There's all these texts piling on Cuomo. Which one do I pay attention to? Well, Steve, because y'all remember reading about the prodigal son. That's the one that disagreed. Is that Steve said, meaning Cuomo, did he pay off any porn stars, grab anybody by the, if not, he's okay then. And then he comes back and says, I'm not condoning sexual harassment by either of them, just a fan of irony. Yeah, I don't know if that's the irony in that, truly defined, but I get where you're going. Here's what I think is happening right now. Okay. All that time was spent on, let's say, accuser number one in this. And while he is trying to act like, and somebody said on the text line, like he's like a dad lecturing, he's almost trying to seem like a caring dad. He is obfuscating the situation with the person at the head of this, right? That we read about in the beginning. And in doing that, you're trying to deflect the further allegations. Now, I will say this, looking through the allegations, there's some of these. And Lindsay Boylan is who he was talking about in the beginning there and spent so much time on. Then you have the others, and maybe you use that to muddy the water, right? I will say, as you look through the list of the 10 others in these allegations, they're not all at the same level. And yes, and I will go on the edge. Lord knows, I'm going on the edge for honesty here, not defending Cuomo, because I think he's gives me the creeps too, y'all. But they're not all at the same level, okay? So I think that's going to have to be parsed out, what we're looking at, because you touch somebody, you grab them and grope them, obvious, right? Obvious. In others, I don't, you know, is it to be encouraged? No. But it's like where he called the darling thing I was talking about. This claim made by... Oh my gosh, the names, too many names here. One of the claimants said that Liss, who alleged that Cuomo frequently called her sweetheart or darling and had kissed her on the cheek and the hand while she worked as an aide in the executive chamber, responded to the investigation findings by thanking those who supported her. And she'd be supported, but I would want to know that. Listen, it's a tough. I'm not in no way defending Cuomo, but just want to make things clear. If she then said, "Don't do that again," and he did, then bingo, man, off the top rope on him. But if he, I don't do that, but I have, and I know better, and I have better home training. But I know older members of my family that would do that and not mean anything by it, right? The sweetheart or darling thing, that they wouldn't be doing. Who knows what the intent was for Cuomo? You see this other stuff laid out here, and you got to think it probably didn't have the right intent. But like, so there's some of these that you're like, I mean, this guy's touching people unwantedly and groping people, and all that. I'm with you 100%, foot and backside, to hell with them. But then there's some others lumped in here too that are like. Is it good? No, not, it's not a good thing. Is it at the same level as the other allegations? Yeah, not. So I just, once again, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not Team Cuomo. I'm not a Cuomo-sexual here, but I'm just saying, let's keep things, you know, let's continue to be honest, even when it doesn't suit your means. It's a healthy thing. Okay, Cuomo continues.
The officer who said that I groped her in my home office. Let me be clear. That never happened. She wants anonymity, and I respect that. So I am limited but what I can say. But her lawyer has suggested that she will file a legal claim for damages. That will be decided in a court of law. Trial by newspaper or biased reviews are not the way to find the facts in this matter. I welcome the opportunity for a full and fair review before a judge and a jury, because this just did not happen. Other complainants raised against me questions that have sought to unfairly characterize and weaponize everyday interactions that I've had with any number of New Yorkers. The New York Times published a front page picture of me touching a woman's face at a wedding and then kissing her on the cheek. That is not front page news. I've been making the same gesture in public all my life.
Yep. So that's where he's going to get. It's where he's going to muddy the water on those. We'll see. This will be hashed and rehashed 100 times over, all night tonight on cable news. So you'll be able to hear it there. All right, Paul Feinbaum show's on the way next. Talk to y'all tomorrow. Yeah, this show live from the battleships could be fun. All right, y'all have a good one.